Death Letter Blues from Sunhouse there. The first choice today on TXFM on Songs in the Key of Life from Blind Boy Boat Club from the Rubber Bandits. Blind Boy, we were talking earlier about people not always writing their own songs and sometimes there being squabbles over songs and how they come to be. What's your own songwriting process like?
We generally kind of, we both kind of talk about the themes together. And then, like, the other fella, Mr. Crom, he's an incredible lyricist. He's amazing at rhyming, putting, sticking things together. And then I generally kind of look after the music. And musically, what I kind of try and do is just trying to... first and foremost, I think we're both just fans of music. That's the most important thing. And every part of the creative process is just inspired by what other people do. And for me, a good song is something that... when I hear it, it makes me want to write something. Mm-hmm. So we kind of try and grab and mix and match from as many different genres as possible and then write songs about stuff that nobody else would write about.
Yeah.
Something really, really mental. It's almost like, I keep thinking of, like, Leonard Cohen's got this song called The Tower of Song. Mm. And he visualises, like, the history of music in this tower with different departments. And you've got Hank Williams at the top. And it's like... we're somewhere at the very, very bottom in this dirty room with, like, Frank Zappa as our supervisor, and we have to write the songs that nobody else will write because they're so silly.
They're silly in some ways, but they're also kind of amazing. I mean, that track, Dad's Best Friend, those lyrics, they are biting.
But again, it's just like, who's going to write that song? Ed Sheeran can't write it. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't be allowed. So it's like, you have to take responsibility and just write the songs that nobody else is able to write, because they'd look like fools. We're able to get away with writing songs that would normally make an artist look like a fool, because we look like fools.
What would you like to play next?
A song called It's Alright Ma, I'm Only Bleeding by Bob Dylan. And this particular song for me is it's hugely important, because up in my early life, I wasn't always involved in making music. From the age of about 3 on upwards, I was into painting, you know, and I was always painting, and that was my main type of creativity. And I always loved music, but I never picked up an instrument. I never felt that I needed to participate creatively in music. Then, when I was about 16 or 17, I heard this song by Bob Dylan, and I actually remember the moment it awoke in me. An emotion so powerful that it showed me that a song could communicate so much in art that I no longer could stand on the sidelines. That at that moment it was like, I have to now at least attempt to make music or write a song. And this song is the one that did it for me. It literally awoke. It's so good, like.
All right, will we have a listen?
Yeah, please.
All right, it's Mr. Bob Dylan, as picked out today by Blind Boy Boat Club of the Rubber Bandits on TX. Bob Dylan there, It's All Right Ma, I'm Only Bleeding on Songs in the Key of Life, as picked out today by Blind Boy Boat Club of the Rubber Bandits. Blind Boy, we'll be heading towards an ad break fairly soon, so let's go straight into another track that you've picked. You have a great list here.
This next one is by Prince, and it's called The Ballad of Dorothy Parker. And I chose it as well because, you know, Prince is known for doing mainstream pop songs. He's an incredible genius at it, but every so often there's little pockets of complete and utter lunacy, and this is one of them.
Was this on Sign of the Times?
It's on Sign of the Times, yeah. And Dorothy Parker was she was like a satirist and a novelist and an essayist in American pop culture. And this, for some reason, Prince decided he needs to write a song about taking a bath with her but not removing his pants because he's gone out with somebody. And, like, that's just mad. And not only did, like, this as a piece
You've
of
never
songwriting,
been in that situation yourself.
Oh, non-stop. I can't stop being in that situation. But not only did he write a song about it, but the production for, I think it was like 1982,
yeah,
is
a
nuts.
Beautiful album, yeah.
It's nuts. It's like Daft Punk. They revisited that very sound. The way he was using synths and drum machines, it's just insane.
But I mean, Sign of the Times itself, as the title track on that album, is incredible.
Well, it's, yeah, because he captured it. Well, he invented a zeitgeist with that sound. I mean, all the music after Sign of the Times changed. And it's just, Prince is just one of these people. He's so creative that he's not a functioning human being. He's really mad. And that's good. Do you know what I mean?
Brilliant. All right, this is The Ballad of Dorothy Parker from Prince, as picked out today by Blind Boy Book Club of the River Bandits.
TXFM. Songs in the Key of Life with Nadine O'Regan.
51052 for your texts this morning. If you've just tuned in, you are indeed listening to Songs in the Key of Life. And my guest today is Blind Boy from the River Bandits. Of course, the River Bandits have been all over the place lately. They've been doing their musical on the stage of the Abbey Theatre, the Peacock Theatre, and they will be taking that musical a little bit further afield in the coming months. But Blind Boy, you're in today for a very different reason. You're picking out tracks for us across the hour. And I mean, I've always kind of wondered about you guys. I mean, we're talking a little there about the songwriting process, but in terms of kind of the beats and where you're coming from, there's always been a bit of a hip-hop sensibility, a bit of Aphex Twin kind of vibe from you guys. Like, is that the kind of music that you would have listened to a lot in your, I don't know, more clubby days? Or I don't know, maybe you're still in the clubby days, I don't know.
I like, again, my musical tastes are like just nearly everything. I'm like a musical dustbin. I take it all in.
There's
a huge hip hop influence. Yeah. I mean, I would have grown up listening to hip hop, but while I was listening to hip hop, I was also listening to Bob Dylan. I was also listening to Prince. And when I learned to actually construct and make music, I stopped hearing genres and I stopped hearing artists. And all I hear is symmetrical vibrations of air. That's all music is. So as a result of that, it's like I can listen to Bob Dylan beside Ice-T or Ghostface Killer, and they just meld into one. So everything we kind of do musically is just try and pick from as many different sources as possible and meld it into one as a form of collage nearly.
And with the track, like, say, the Horse Outside track, I mean, it became such a phenomenon back in, what was it, 2010?
Yeah.
And it was everywhere for a while. And you had, was it Madeleine McQueen in the video?
Yeah.
She's gone out with Jack Rayner.
She is,
now,
yeah, but
she
was just one of our buddies.
Yeah.
She was just hanging around with us, like.
So you're still chatting to her?
Yeah, she was just hanging around with us, and we needed her, she was just one of our friends.
Yeah.
Everyone in that video is just our friends.
Did it startle you, though, the success?
Yeah, that wasn't nice at all. I mean, it was a total accident. That particular song, that was actually a genuine attempt at writing a pop song in the way that in pop music, not necessarily popular music, we didn't think it was going to get popular.
Yeah, was
but
it?
But it wasn't very nice. No, that got a bit out of hand, and it's not something we wanted to do.
Why?
Because that's the anti-crack. It's just like we became a cursing Jedward. You know what I mean? It wasn't enjoyable. We don't like that. We prefer kind of just being low key and having the crack. But
wasn't it amazing to see yourself being played out on American television?
It's good crack, but after a while then it's like, just thank God I had a bag in my head. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, I want to hear more about this, but let's pick another track.
The next track is Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis by Tom Waits. And Tom Waits is a great man again, who will write a song like a short story. And this song is one of the most heartbreaking short stories ever. It's incredible.
All right. Well, let's go straight to it. Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis from the mighty Tom Waits on TXFM. Blind Boy's choice there from the Rubber Bandits. That, of course, was Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis from Mr. Tom Waits. Tom Waits, such a genius.
Yeah, and like, he'd be massively important to us in terms of, like, if we were deciding where a song should go, you'd nearly say to yourself, what would Tom do? Do you know? I mean, he's just... He writes lyrics like a film director is the only way I can describe it. It's like when he's writing, you can see that he's been picturing shots, and a lot of it as well is from 1950s American film noir, and he really brings the visual in. And he's a short story writer, you know what I mean? That's what he does.
And he actually writes little poems and things as well.
I mean, he's incredible. And that period of his career as well, like the 70s, he was in his jazzy beat poet career, and that album that's from, Blue Valentines, that was near the end of that period
before he got really weird,
before he went mental in 1980. He met a woman called Kathleen Brennan,
from Kerry,
yeah, and she introduced him to the music of Captain Beefheart, who was a real lunatic. He was also an abstract expressionist painter, and he was a madman. And Tom Waits heard Captain Beefheart and was like, I want to do that. So there's two periods of Tom Waits' career. And one of the things as well I'm trying to do with this playlist as well is that I'm hoping that, like, if young heads are listening to it, to kind of realise, like, there's amazing music out there. And if you're actually interested in music, you have a responsibility to know about people like Tom Waits. And as well, like, music journalists. There's a lot of music journalists out there now, bloggers in particular, and they don't know their history. Do you know what I mean? And I believe, all types of criticism, the critic needs to have rigour. The critic needs to have integrity as a critic as well. And if someone's going to be talking to me about music and they can't spot a David Bowie influence, then that person's not good enough to be criticising the work. It's that simple. They have a responsibility.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the subject of Waits, he has charted a really interesting course with his career. He's able to play huge venues, but he still retains that madly eccentric air.
Yeah.
He still feels like a guy that you'd want to talk to in a bar that wouldn't be untouchable.
Yeah.
For your own career paths, we were talking a little bit about how you kind of blew up with Horse Outside.
Yeah.
And then there was the MTV work. You were touring a lot. You have toured a lot.
Yeah.
Australia. You've been going abroad a lot. It must be exhausting. But, like, how do you figure out how to retain the integrity of what you do?
We basically, after Horse Outside, we went on a process of losing fans. We first released a song called Spastic Hawk, which it's one of our favourite pieces of work, but it's particularly challenging, and it's something that we personally love. We like to hear that, but it turned a lot of people off us in a good way. It turned people off us who wouldn't really kind of, it's like, this is what we're really about. So we kind of also, we left Ireland and we went over to England and we started afresh in the theatre scene and just built our way up from that in a way that, like, all we ever want to do is we want to make stuff that we like, and that's all you can do as an artist.
You've got to make a living as well, right?
I think if anyone, especially in the climate today where you've got Spotify and things like that, where it's very difficult to make music, if you're serious about your art, you should not have that as your how you make a living. Because when you have to make a living off art, that means there has to be compromise. But if there's no compromise, you can do whatever you want, and that's the only, you have to be true to yourself.
Who would you like to play?
David Bowie.
Yeah.
Cracked actor. This is from his album Aladdin Sane. Absolutely incredible album. It's from a period when Bowie himself was on fire. It's just Bowie doing his thing.
All right, well, let's go straight to it. This is Mr. David Bowie, Cracked Actor.